name. Amen.
We will sing, 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 and make music with the headlines. So we will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. We will sing, 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 and make music with the headlines. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when bow down, Son of God, you are the one, you are the one we're living for. We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us, like a fire burning. Son of God, you are the one, you are the one we're living for. We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. We lift high the name of Jesus.
Amen.
wonder. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is he. All the glory. Let us lift his name on high. Celebrate, praise, celebrate. For we have redeemed our lives. And he reigns on high. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is he. All the glory, the reign and splendor. Great and mighty is, great and mighty is, great and mighty. That's a fun song to sing. God is good, isn't he? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
That's right. You started something, Sammy. When I'm down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to walk. Provides a way out. Draw me close to you. Never let Nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way and bring me back to Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I know
there is no greater need we have than you. You are our everything, our all in all, our provider, our healer, our comforter, our encourager. You are everything in one. Lord, we truly need you. Doesn't matter really what happens in this world around us. As long as we have you, as long as we abide in you, as long as we stand with you, you will carry us through. You will protect us. Lord, you will give us an eternity of just amazing comfort and protection in your presence, Father God. Lord, I thank you for those marvelous things that we have to look forward to. I thank you for the blessings that you pour out on us day after day after day. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage us and strengthen us. I pray that this morning, especially for Patty Ruse. Lord, thank you for successful surgery yesterday. Minister to her, yes, Lord. Encourage her as she heals. Touch her and strengthen her. Lord, give her peace through this whole process, Lord. Father, I think of Janice, Sue's sister today. Lord, would you speak to her? Lord, would you touch her physically back in the hospital again? Lord, minister to her body. Lord, give wisdom to the doctors that they would know what needs to be done. Lord, we trust in you for her healing, Father God. Pray that you'd continue to be with Sue and encourage her and strengthen her, Lord. We thank you for how far you've brought her already. Pray that you'd just continue to minister to her body, Lord Jesus. Lord, and so many others I know, Lord, going through treatments, going through illnesses, going through different physical problems in life, Lord, would you touch them and bring wholeness to them? Give strength and healing as only you can, Father God. Our hope is truly in you, Lord Jesus. Our hope is in you. Father, would you continue to minister and encourage and bless today? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue today looking at Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." I would say this is certainly one of the best known pieces of scripture throughout all of the Bible. There are a handful, but this certainly is a very well known one. Our desire, of course, is to better understand sheep and shepherd, that whole relationship, and how it applies to us, us being the sheep and Jesus being our shepherd. How does all of that kind of come together? There are tons of scriptures that talk about sheep and shepherd, and if we can understand that relationship, if we can understand that comparison, all those scriptures take on new meaning for us. They come to life in different ways. So far, we've talked about the fact that we need to follow the shepherd, Jesus, how he leads us and teaches us and encourages us, how he provides for us. And if we are willing to follow him and be obedient to him, he meets all of our needs. and we are not in want. We learn to be content with what we have because He provides for us, because He makes a way. We know that He brings us peace in and through our life so that we can comfortably lie down in green pastures, to take from the psalm, if you will. We can be free from fear, which is really what that means for the sheep. Being able to lie down means they're free from fear, they're free from turmoil, they're free from all the pests and insects and bugs that trouble them, or those parasites that come after them. They're free from hunger. That's all kinds of the stuff that it takes for a sheep to lie down. And if we are free from all those things, we can be comfortable to be at peace and lie down as well. We've learned the importance of drinking the good, clean, pure water that our shepherd leads us to, and not that muddy, nasty puddle that the world has put in front of us, that the world so enjoys. We've talked about how the shepherd restores us. He picks us up gently, protecting us, watching over us, spending time with us, talking to us, how He so patiently restores us when we're unable to get up and to be restored, to be strengthened, to stand on our own. And of course, we left off last week with the idea that He guides us down paths of righteousness, not only to bless us, but for His name's sake. We are a reflection of Him in this world, and we are to display Him, to reflect Him to everyone that we come in contact with. So He certainly leads us, but He does it to His benefit, to His righteousness. So let's read through the psalm again together this morning, and then we'll move on to the next verse, the next piece that we want to talk about. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today we're going to start with that wonderful verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Now many people look at that part, that verse, that section of this psalm, and they focus in on the physical aspect. They focus in on suffering and death. That tends to be the time most people look at that section of Scripture. This whole psalm is read at more funerals or memorials than I can even begin to count. You know, people tend to run to this particular set of Scripture during those times. And don't misunderstand, there is certainly an element of peace in this psalm that applies at those times. It applies when a loved one has passed or we are dealing with death. There's no question about that. Especially for believers, knowing that Jesus is there to walk with the believer through the physical life and into the eternal life. That certainly is applicable, whether the loved one has passed or, quite honestly, when it comes time for us to die. And don't forget, we are all appointed to die once. We don't know when, but at some point we will pass from this life. And we can have peace. We can take joy in the fact that Jesus will walk through that process with us. We don't have to fear it or be consumed by it. But when David wrote this psalm, he saw the valley a little bit differently than just about death or mourning or suffering. We already know the importance of the shepherd leading his sheep from one pasture to another, from one place of grazing to another. But often the flock, in order to get from one place to another, had to go through lowlands or had to go through valleys to get to some of the other higher ground that the shepherd may have wanted to get his flock to. Now, the valleys that had to be traveled through were often very dark valleys. They were often places that daylight didn't spend much time in. We'll get to that in a minute. The shepherd knew at what time of year it was better to be in the valley or to be on the mountaintop. There were benefits to being in the valley. There were benefits to being on the mountaintop. Shepherd had to take all of that into consideration as he was leading his flocks. Because, as I said, there were some advantages. Let's look at a couple of those advantages for just a minute. Typically, on the valley floor, there was better, cleaner water for the sheep. And it was in more abundance on the valley floor than it was necessarily at the top of the mountain. Because there was so much water on the valley floor, many a times those floors were the most lush, the most green pasture lands actually were down on that valley. The grass was not withered by the sun, but it was well watered and well grown for those sheep to eat. And of course, being down there on the valley floor, because you're surrounded by mountains and the sun didn't always get down there, but for maybe a couple hours out of the whole day, being on that valley floor meant you were in a cooler spot. You were not in the heat of the day or in all that direct sunlight for 10, 12 hours at a time. Now, yes, of course, there were also dangers down on that valley floor in those lowlands. The sheep there were particularly vulnerable to their predators, to the enemy. The enemy had many more places to hide down in the valley than it did higher up the mountain. So there was that area that the shepherd had to be more alert, more awake, more mindful, because the enemy would attack more often down in that valley. Not saying he couldn't attack in other places, but down in those lowlands, there was more attacks that would happen in those areas. So the shepherd had to be alert, had to pay attention, which means the shepherd had to know at all times where all of his sheep were. When they were down in that valley, in those lowlands, he had to pay more attention. He couldn't let them wander or spread out quite as far. He had to keep them closer so that he could protect them more readily, so that he could watch over them. The shepherd also had to pay attention to some other deadly issues that were a potential when in the valley, when down in those lowlands. For example, those lowlands were subject to sudden storms, which means there could be greater floods down in those lowlands. There could be rock slides down in those lowlands, or mudslides, avalanches, if you will, of rocks and mud and earth and dirt. All of those, of course, dangerous to the sheep. So there was a lot of other issues down there that had to be in the shepherd's mind. He had to be paying attention for. But that doesn't mean being down there was bad, at least not all the time. Despite the dangers, despite the potential of death in the valley, the shepherd saw great benefits to leading his sheep to and through the valley. They didn't stay there, but there was benefits to leading them to and through that valley. And we just noted some of those positives, some of those benefits just a few moments ago. We should be able to see some parallels here, I hope. As I talked through that, I hope once again we were thinking about ourselves as the sheep and applying some of these concepts to our own lives. See, we can draw comfort from that valley as well. You know, life was never promised to us to be free of issues and problems. Nowhere ever was it said that life will always be filled with mountaintops or high experiences. We will deal with sickness in life. We will deal with pain in life. We will deal with financial issues, relational issues. We may have to deal with one or all of those things throughout the course of our life. But even though at that moment we are in what seems to be that dark valley, remember that our shepherd is there to lead us through that valley. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to forsake us. Even though we are in a dark spot and the sun doesn't seem to be shining on us, we can have peace. We can take joy. We can have solace in the idea that our shepherd is there with us, that he sees us, that he knows what is surrounding us, that he knows the dangers and the issues that are there, and he is leading us through. No matter what lies ahead, no matter how it might appear in our eyes, he is leading us through. We have a protector, we have our provider, we have our great shepherd with us. And he is going to watch over us. In fact, he knows what issues or what problems lie before us before we do. And he is prepared to help us through those. Because remember, according to Scripture, he has our best in mind. Even in that low place, he has our best in mind. He is completely in control, if we allow him to be. We, on the other hand, seem to lose all control when we're in those situations. When it's dark, when it's scary, when we can't do anything but imagine all the troubles that are surrounding us, that's when we panic. That's when we begin to freak out. That's when anxiety overcomes us. If we will learn that even in that deepest, darkest valley, that he is there and he is in control, it will bring an incredible peace to our hearts and lives. People ask me the question all the time, why do so many bad things happen to certain people? Why does it seem like this person's life is great and glorious and this person's life is just miserable and wretched and hard? And I'm going to be really honest with you this morning and tell you, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a clue. Because I'm not God. But I do know this. I know that our God is sovereign. I know that His Word tells me that He has plans to prosper me and to lead me forward and to help me. I know that His Word tells me that He has my best in mind. So why do some get healed and some don't get healed? Why do some seem to be in constant valleys and others on constant mountaintops? I don't know. But I do know that my great sovereign God has a plan for each and every one of those lives. No matter where they're at, no matter what it seems like to us that they're going on, that is going on in their life or that they're surrounded by, God has a plan for them. God has a plan for you and I. And no matter where we're at, up top, down low, somewhere working our way up or down that mountain, God will lead you through if you allow Him to. He will give you the strength to take the next step. He will guide you to that light and that encouragement and that strength if you allow Him to. Or we can try to do things on our own and just wander the wilderness time and time again. Sit down there on that valley floor, bumping into the next rock because we can't see anything. Not knowing where we're at or how to get out or where to go next. If we will allow Him, He will lead us through. So when, notice I said when, not if, when you find yourself on that valley floor, you need to make a decision. Are you going to allow your shepherd to lead you and teach you and guide you and encourage you? Or are you going to be as dumb as a sheep and just take off running, trying to figure it out on your own, taking a chance, hoping you can outrun the enemy or whatever else happens to be around you? I'm no counselor, but I would suggest you trust the shepherd. It makes a whole lot more sense to me. One other quick note here. I want you to remember, just a moment ago, I said there are great benefits to the valley floor. The clean water, the lush green grasses to graze on. There are benefits to the valley floor. You know, oftentimes we go through those dark valleys and we fail to see the nourishment that is all around us. We fail to see it. Because we're so focused in on the darkness. We're so focused in on the problem that we fail to see the benefits that are right in front of us on the valley floor. It's a little bit like what James told us, isn't it? Consider it pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because those trials help us to grow, to mature, to develop, to become the people that God is calling us to be, that He is training us up to be. That valley floor is one of those trials and struggles, and there's tons of benefits there if we will allow our shepherd to show them to us. if we will allow Him to open our eyes so that we can see all those incredible benefits that are right in front of us. Let's move on to the next piece of David's text. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." These are the two choice tools of the shepherd, the rod and the staff. Now, I'm going to admit to you, on the surface, neither one of them sound very comforting to me. I don't suppose they sound very comforting to you either, do they? So how does a rod or a staff bring comfort? Well, a good shepherd knows how to use them both and to use them well. So let's talk about them just a bit this morning. The rod, first of all, is where we will start. The rod was a custom-made piece from a sapling or another piece of wood. A shepherd, each individual shepherd, would go out and find a piece of wood, one that they liked, one that they wanted to work with, one that they thought was good for them, and they would start to whittle away at that piece of wood until it was just the right size, just the right shape, till it perfectly fit into their hand. You know, all of us have different hands. Some are smaller, some are larger. I've been accused of having sausage fingers because my fingers are big. All of us are a little bit different. And so having a piece that I've whittled or honed or made just to myself, just to my satisfaction, was incredibly important for every shepherd. And then, once it was made custom just for them, then they would begin to learn how to use it. And that rod would actually become an incredible, powerful weapon. It would become a weapon. Because that shepherd, having whittled that rod to fit his hand, and having learned how to throw it and control it to the very best of his ability, would now use that rod to protect his sheep. When the enemy started coming at his flock, he would use that rod and throw it at the enemy, warding off the enemy, scaring the enemy. He would also use that same rod to protect his sheep. If they were going in the wrong direction or getting too close to something that they shouldn't get too close to, he would throw it at his own sheep to move them away from the danger that was right in front of them, to get them to turn from the path that they were on to the path that they needed to go. A good shepherd with a custom-made rod could throw that with incredible accuracy to the benefit of his sheep, warding off the enemy or guiding his sheep. Either way, it was perfect for protection as well as discipline. One tool, one weapon. Now, he would also take that same rod that he used for protection or discipline, and he would use it to examine his sheep. Well, how in the world did he examine his sheep? Well, I want you to think about a big fluffy sheep full of wool. How in the world could the shepherd examine his sheep when his sheep were full of fluffiness? He had to pull that wool aside, didn't he? He had to get down so that he could see the skin, so that he could see the animal itself. And that rod was something he used to hold those layers of wool away so that he could get in there and inspect his sheep's condition, to check on the healthiness of his sheep. The only way he was going to get down and be able to see was to dig through that. And the rod became a tool to help him get through all of that and see. He would also use that rod when he was leading his sheep from one pasture to another. He would use that rod to clear the path before him. He could knock away tall brush or dangerous items or get things out of the path that they were walking down. So he used it to help them on their journey so they could walk safely from one place to another. So now, hear me out. I want you to think about this rod that's become a powerful, one of the chosen powerful tools of the shepherd. And I want you to think about it for us. What might be our rod? What might the shepherd use to discipline us, protect us, guide us, clear the path? What might be our rod? I'm going to offer up this suggestion for you to consider. And I would ask you to think about the Word of God as our rod. That Word has been hand-selected, hand-hewn, custom made for our shepherd so that he can use it perfectly to fight off our enemy, to watch over us, to protect us and lead us. I want you to think about how Jesus used that word when he fought the enemy in the desert and said, three times, it is written. Think about the Word of God as that rod. Isaiah 53 tells us, we all like sheep have gone astray. What does the rod do? The rod, one of the things I said is the shepherd uses it to lead the sheep away from danger and back down the right path, back into the fold, back into the safe area, safe zone. Does the Word of God do that for us? Absolutely. The Word can be used to discipline us as well. I know none of us like the concept of discipline, and we think of it as such a nasty, negative word. But I tell you what, every one of us should want to be disciplined by God, because it helps us learn. It helps us grow. It teaches us. It holds us closer to Him. No parent ever disciplined their kids just because they wanted to. No parent ever disciplined their kids to make them worse. We discipline our kids to help them grow, to help them mature, to guide them in life. It's the same thing our God does for us. The discipline is also not from a punishment perspective, but it's from a protection perspective. Throw that rod, scare that sheep, get them into moving in the right direction, away from the danger. Do you see how that's not punishment, but protection? Do you see how the simple perspective is so much different? It's all about protection. The Word of God teaches us. It guides us. It keeps us free from danger. Yes, again, there's the element of punishment, but protection there. It clears the path in front of us. On and on you can go, comparing the Word of God to the rod that the shepherd uses for his sheep. Does that word not also examine our condition? pull back our wool, expose our true nature. I mean, we can just keep going with these things. So I say, think of the Word of God as the rod, one of the choice weapons or tools that the shepherd uses. Let's think about the staff now for a minute. We're going to look at this second choice tool quickly this morning. It's a good tool. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this one, but it's another one that is incredible. And as I said, kind of going to jump right into this. The rod, I want you to think about the Word of God. The staff, what do I want you to think about when we talk about the staff? I want you to think about the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the staff, think about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the staff is designed to be the sheep's comforter. It's designed to protect and hold the sheep close. It's designed to be that gentle tug that the sheep needs every now and again. So when we talk about the staff, think about the Holy Spirit. The staff, as you can see pictured there, has this crooked or turned end on it. And this was used in a lot of ways by the shepherd. He could reach out and actually grab the sheep's leg to pull it back. He could grab the sheep around the neck if he needed to. He could pull the sheep away from trouble in so many different ways. And as the shepherd would use the staff, one of the things he would do for his sheep is just occasionally lay it on the sheep's side. Just lay the staff next to the sheep so the sheep could get used to it, so that the sheep knew it was there for him, so that the sheep knew it was for his protection, for his safety. It became a feel of comfort. It became something the sheep got used to when they felt that staff touching them. They knew the shepherd was there and that he was protecting them and that he was pulling them away from danger and that he was holding them close and that he was leading them in to his side, to his fold. He was drawing the sheep unto himself so that he could comfort his sheep. There are some other things that both the rod and the staff were used for, and we don't have time to go into all of those things today, but these were two incredible tools that any good shepherd learned how to use. I am sure David, from the time that he was a little bitty boy, cut and whittled and made his own rod. And as he grew, I would venture to say he probably made new ones as his hands got bigger, as he got stronger. I would guess that he took the time to make new ones so that he could protect his flock. Remember, sheep don't read their surroundings very well. Sheep don't understand what is good or bad around them. They will eat and drink what is bad. They will ignore what is... They don't understand. They can't seem to determine the good or the bad that lies around them. So the shepherd has to keep them safe. He has to lead them. He has to protect them if he wants his flock to be healthy and grow and survive and mature. Do you see what Jesus does for us? He doesn't want you to wither and die. He doesn't want you to be unhealthy. He doesn't want you attacked and dealing with parasites all the time. He has a plan. He has tools. He has things that He has set in place to help us stay healthy and mature and grow. Again, I got to say it again. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through those valleys. There will be times that we go through them. But we can rejoice knowing that our shepherd is with us and walking the valley with us. He will bring us that clean water. He will give us that food to eat. He will protect us from the enemy that is all around us. The rod and the staff are the major tools that the shepherd uses to lead and protect and guide his sheep, just like Scripture and the Holy Spirit are the major tools that God uses to lead and guide and protect and teach us. That's why I encourage you to think about the Word as the rod and the Spirit as the staff. Think about what they do for you in your life, what they have done for you in your life. Think about the testimony, quite honestly, that they are in many people's lives. The rod and the staff, they don't sound like tools of comfort, but they truly are tools of comfort, and they are ready to be put to use. They are ready for the shepherd to guide, to direct, to protect. They are ready for our God. Will we let Him use them? Or are we going to run away from them? When we see that staff, does it comfort us? Or does it cause us to bolt and to run? When that rod is out, do we know that it's for our protection and our benefit? Or do we close it all exhausted again, saying, whatever? What is our reaction? They are two, I wasn't sure how to phrase this, to be honest with you, but I couldn't come up with a better way, so hear me out. They are two relatively simple tools, but they are so unbelievably powerful. Amazingly powerful. In fact, without them, the sheep will be lost. Without the rod and the staff to lead us and direct us and guide us and show us what's what, we might as well be like the first sheep you saw this morning, walking around with a bucket on our head. That might as well be how we live life if we're not going to allow the rod and the staff to do the work that God designed them to do. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. They encourage me. Lord, I thank You that we can keep working through Your Word, that we can keep working through this psalm and these verses. Lord, I pray that You would just bring this scripture alive to every one of us more than ever before. Whether we've gone through Psalm 23 once or 30 times, Lord, I pray that we would continue to see it in a new light, understand it better, know how it speaks to us personally, realize what an incredible shepherd You are for each and every one of us. Continue to teach us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.